out of coffee? No need to worry. Mater Dei Radio is brewing a second cup of the morning blend.
All right, so if there is ever a bigger reason than it is Monday or it is the first day of autumn to drink all of the coffee you need to, well, you've got permission today. Both of those things happening today. So I always need to be reminded. So the fall equinox is today. They said at precisely 11:19 a.m. Pacific time. So technically, we are still in summer, and then after 11:19, it's the fall season, right? But equinox, right? It has to do with the equal amount of daylight and darkness, right? That's why it's
right.
Equal
it's
equinox.
The way the earth is tilting from the sun and all of that. So, yeah, we're getting equal parts of day and night. And then, of course, I guess the glass half empty way of looking at it is it's only going to get darker from here.
I know. And I wonder, that must be in a different region, because it definitely feels like we have more darkness going on just because we're so much farther north than other regions, perhaps. But you're right. It's the beginning of the darkness as we move towards the winter solstice. We're going to continue to get dark there. I think sun sets at like 4:30 on that day or something like that. So that change of the clock back to standard time, that can't come soon enough, because I need a little bit more sunlight in the morning. But you know, that just means the sun is going down earlier in the evening. So we had the last full weekend of summer. You remind our listeners, you went and had an ice cream spud, but it's not like potato ice cream. It was more like potato shaped ice cream.
Correct. So we have a Deacon friend who also is a chef and owns a very famous restaurant. Guy Fieri even stopped by a couple of times to visit our chef Lou, who is also Deacon Lou at one of our Boise parishes. But he has a machine that shapes the ice cream like a potato. Then you roll it in really fine cocoa powder so it looks like a potato. And then you split it and you've put like whipped cream and cookie chunks and syrup. Yeah, it's probably about 3,000 calories, Brenda, and my pancreas still hurts, and I ate it on Saturday morning.
Wow.
And I'm still recovering, but it is an incredible
treat. The breakfast of champions,
huh? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it was all part of the Idaho Spud Fest that was going on at a local park not far from where we lived. So we just went and walked around and saw all the vendors and had an ice cream potato, because, you know, wouldn't be Spud Fest without eating something. But it has nothing to do with the real potato.
Oh, okay. But I imagine after having an ice cream potato split open with all the goodies, you can actually go and get yourself a very large Idaho potato and fill that with all of the goodies. So that way, yes, by the end of the partaking, yes, you're in an insulin overload from all of those carbs. Ooh. So we had a very busy Saturday, and it felt like God's timing was really on our side, because we very easily moved from one event to the next event to the next event. So the day started, women from across the area gathered at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in Vancouver. The Good Deacon opened and blessed their event that morning. He said, I think there were close to like 80 women who gathered for that event. And you've been hearing about that on the community calendar. He said it was such a wonderful opportunity to really to start off their day with them. And then when he came back, the Good Deacon and I, we had to get down to Salem for the Oregon Right to Life at Gala. But we had to make a stop over here at Mater Dei Radio and get our shows pre-produced, recorded, so that way we've got a couple more new episodes of You from the Pew coming up. We had a great time. I mean, we just laughed so much and just trying to think of all of these stories as we're getting ahead to record those shows. We hit 150 episodes of View from the Pew. 150 of them. Ah, that is a lot of time talking to a Good Deacon, sharing stories about our family, that's for sure. So, yeah, it was really nice to be able to look at that and go, Yeah, we've had a thing or two to say, and we hope that over the years that we've been doing that, you've, you know, maybe struck a chord with you too and recognize that family life is family life, whether, you know, you're sitting in the pews as a family like I am or you're a good deacon on the altar. Yeah, we all have the same struggle. So we really appreciated being able to record those. We got in the car and then headed down to beautiful Salem, Oregon. And I'm sorry to say, it's been a minute since I've been in the city of Salem, driving through there. And it's kind of, you have to, unlike Portland, where the freeways literally just run through the city, you've actually got to get off of I-5 and kind of travel in a few miles to get into the downtown area. I saw the steeple of beautiful St. Joseph's Catholic Church down there, still under construction. That's, it's being rebuilt from the fire. And then we got parked in the garage there at the convention center. It was a great way to, I was welcomed by the wonderful volunteers and workers there. We had a wonderful chat. Now, we were able to, after a sound check, go into a VIP room and meet the different group leaders and table leaders. And then I spent a little bit of time getting to know Al and Lisa Robertson. So they were the keynotes of that day. You know, they were fielding some questions. And of course, I'm like, well, I have a question. And I said, you know, the family that we see on TV seems to be, with all of the, you know, funny things that go on,
right,
it is still a family that is grounded in love for each other and love of faith. And with the death of their patriarch, Phil, right, recently, earlier on in the year, I asked how the family was doing. He said that they have really, as a family, surrounded Miss Kay, and
yes,
that they had been together since she was a teenager. And that the grief is still quite a bit, and times there are goods and times that are bad. And he also shared that she's starting to deal with issues of dementia. And so he just said, can you please continue to pray for her and our family? Now, once we got into the event, boy, things really just took on a life of celebration. And we talked, and many people did, about, you know, how Oregon Right to Life, through legislation and letter writing campaigns and different things, even though in the state of Oregon, where abortion is legal until the moment before birth, you can get an abortion at any time, that there are still gains being made. And those were the things that we celebrated. And Al and Lisa got up and they talked about their lives and recovering from an abortion she had in her early years, and how, through their faith, found each other again, and then lived a life for God. And they traveled the country preaching that message. And of course, people know the Robertsons as the Duck Dynasty family. And in the gift bag that I received, there was a whistle in there. And I knew right away that this is from the Duck Dynasty. Duck Commander is the name of the company. The show is Duck Dynasty. And I said, you know, you got to help me out there. Now, he explained his family in terms of Labrador Retrievers. And the Black Labs were the go-getters in the family. That was his father. You know, Phil was the Black Lab. He said, then there's the Yellow Labs that, while they are still kind of focused on life, they kind of can get sidetracked a little bit. He said that's where he fell into. And then he said there were those in the family that were Chocolate Labs, who really get confused between Sic'em and Sit-Stay. Like, it just kind of gets confusing for those. And he highlighted the brothers that were there. And then there was a picture on the screen of this poor dog that had, I couldn't even tell if it was right side up. It was the craziest looking thing I had ever seen. And as you can guess it, that was Uncle Si.
Uncle Si. Yeah.
That's right. So he explained that his whole family, and really from very meager beginnings, he said, Al, when he was born, his mom, Miss Kay, was 16 years old. 16. And they were not a family grounded in faith. But once they found their faith, Phil began to turn things around. And then this company was born. And now they have the children and grandchildren as part of the work that they're doing. But I called Al to come back on stage. I said, look, I got this whistle here in the gift bag. All it does is, like, make a whistle. I blow on it, it makes a whistle. So it doesn't sound anything like a duck. And, well, he explained to me that that was a 6-in-1 duck whistle And I went, wow, I got to see this. So I had cleaned off my whistle and I handed it to him. And right there on stage, he made, I can't name them all, but there was a mallard. There was a widgeon. There was a wood duck sound that it made. And then he said, also, you can get it to make a dove call.
Wow.
I was like, and he did it all right there, everyone. And I couldn't believe it was the same whistle because each one sounded different. And I was like, wow, that's impressed. I'm not going to be needing to call ducks too often. So hopefully the good deacon will get used to the sound of that whistle. So when I call him and he's in the nether regions of the house, he'll know to come running right away. All in all, it was a beautiful celebration. It was wonderful to be able to celebrate the work of Oregon Right to Life. And I was very thankful and honored to have been asked to be a part of that evening. So hopefully that I was able to lend my voice to their great causes. And you can read more about all the work they do on their webpage. So it was a great evening. I hope you enjoyed today's Second Cup.